Yo, what's going on, everybody? It's your boy B.I.G. A.N.T. back with another episode of the Can I Kick It podcast. Today, I got my brother stopping by again. Y'all already know, it's my dog, Ty Sterling himself. We're going to be talking about more comedy, his upcoming shows, what's been happening, what's future plans, etc., etc. So, if you guys are new here, we appreciate you. If you've been rocking with us, we appreciate you even more. Let's jump into the podcast. Peace. Everybody, it's your boy B.I.G. A.N.T. back with another episode of Can I Kick a podcast. Got none other than the brother himself, Mr. Ty Sutherland. Say what's up to everybody, big homie.
Yo, what's good? Yay, yay.
Oh, damn, L.A. style on me, bro.
Always, man.
Always, man. Glad to have you back on the podcast, brother.
Glad to be back, dog.
Yeah, man. I'm trying to get people they shine when I see some shit popping off. And, you know, I had went through your IG and your Facebook. I saw some things that I might want to talk about. And we got a little bit of catching up to do. But before we get into that, you guys already know the vibes. Kush Gang, KushGang.com. Use my coupon code KICKIT10. That's KICKIT number 10. To get 10% off your online order. You guys know shirts, hoodies, masks, backpacks. He's got new designs up. Support your boy Zay. Support the podcast. Tell somebody that you love them. That was a mouthful. It's always a mouthful. I've done it 100 times, and it's always fucking, it takes my breath away. Pause. So, for those of you who have been living under a rock and don't know my boy or haven't listened to any of his episodes, he is hands down, and no, I'm not biased. I might be a little biased, but hands down the funniest motherfucker in Florida. And he's a comedian, an up and coming comedian. He's been around for a while. He's doing his thing. He's been getting a lot of shows, and I've been paying attention. So, again, congratulate you on booking in pre-podcast. You told me you got another, two or three shows lined up?
Three, man. I just booked another one yesterday.
Facts. I don't know if you want to drop the information now or you want to drop. We'll drop it at the end as usual. But
yeah, we'll drop it at the end.
Yeah. Okay. Are they all in the same area, same location, or are there different locations, different management?
Different locations. One Miami-Dade County, one Broward County, another one I believe is Palm Beach County.
Okay. So, okay.
I'm everywhere.
So yeah, you touching everything, man. Jesus.
Yeah, man.
That's what I'm saying. A lot of shit done went down since we last spoke, man. And I'm here for it, bro. So first of all, again, congrats. You know, like I said, I
appreciate you, brother. Appreciate you.
I'm a little biased here, but I really don't give a shit.
Stupid.
So since we last spoke, I believe you may have, if my memory is correct, and my fucking memory's been all over the place. You probably had, I think, maybe two shows happen, I think, since we last spoke.
Mm-hmm.
And for the first one, I don't remember the location or the name. If you want to just take me back and give me your experiences with both of them, I kind of want you to just tell me what was going on and how was the reception, like how we did last time. But then also towards the end, let me know if there was any bigger differences, like from your point of view, your POV, like from the shows we talked about prior, which was what, maybe two months ago, if that.
Yeah.
And up until now, any big different changes that have came your way, or have you had to overcome any obstacles of such?
Yeah. So I had one show that I did outside show. That's very different. You know what I mean? Because it's less personal, because like the area is so much bigger. You got to kind of like scream at the crowd.
Yeah.
To get their attention. And then on top of that, like when they record it, And when you play it back to, like, you know, try to see, like, what jokes hit, what jokes didn't, you can't really hear the laughs because it's all outside.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, that was tough. But I still had a good show. I did a good job on stage. And then the second show that I had wasn't even a show. It was a competition. It was a comedy competition.
That was the one on Zoom, right?
No. The one on Zoom is, that was just a regular show.
Okay.
I had another one where I had a competition where it was 10 comics and, you know, you there's three rounds and the funniest person wins. Mm-hmm. I ended up tying for second in that one.
Damn.
And yeah, man.
It's better than last place, but shit.
Yeah, if I show you all the photos, because they took photos at the end, you could tell I was pissed off. Like,
yeah,
I was just like, man, just get me out of here, bro.
Yeah, that fuck you tie face on in the photos, the ones you be putting on your model pictures.
Everybody's smiling. I'm just like, I got a stone cold face in there.
Oh, that's funny as shit. You can't win them all, but like I said, second. How many comics were there out of
10?
Oh shit! Second place out of 10. I'll take that. I mean, you know, just like LeBron does, it ain't the one, so you gotta keep pushing. So, but that's still dope, though. You know that you would place high in a competition amongst you know, 10 to, well, not including yourself, 9 other comics, because everybody brings something different to the table, and you don't know if your shit's gonna hit. And to get second place out of 10 people, man, that's pretty dope. So another congratulations. You know what, I'll give you one of these too. Another congratulations for that.
Thanks, man. But yeah, man, like, and like, you gotta have a lot of material too, because it's three rounds.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's all like, it's like 10, 10, 10, like 10 minutes, 10 minutes, 10 minutes. So you gotta have a lot of material. You know what I'm saying?
So basically, so you had like a 30-minute set, basically.
Yeah.
Just broke down into 10 minutes.
Yeah.
What was your way of preparing for that? Did you have like certain jokes you wanted to tell for each segment? Like, let's say, like, one, you know, every comic talks about it. Like, one was about like race, and one was about, like, you know, the world, like world times and modern times, or et cetera, et cetera. Did you have like certain subjects that you wanted to talk for each segment, or you just basically just went in the lab and just wrote a whole bunch of shit and said, yeah, this is first, second, and third?
No, well, you know, I already have jokes that I know that are like my best jokes, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
out the gate, my first 10 minutes, I came out with my best shit, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then in the second round, you know, I came with my second best shit. And in the third round, you know, I just gave them everything else that I had, that I knew that was good. But I didn't have any specific topics that I wanted to go over, because it wasn't themed. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't a themed show. It was just kind of like, you know.
Mm, okay, yeah. That
makes
sense.
Whoever's the funniest, you know what I'm saying? But like, I have this show coming up on the 14th, and the theme is like, Black is the new black, or some shit like that. So I'm definitely gonna throw in some black jokes in there. You know what I mean? Maybe make fun of like the racial climate that we're in right now. You know, just to follow with the theme, and then go on with my regular set. You feel me? So
big facts. So in between the shows from when we first spoke, or last spoke, up until now, do you feel your presence getting better? Is it getting easier for you? Are you getting more smooth? Are you hitting more jokes? Are you making more people laugh? Like, do you see an elevation in your craft?
Of course, man. It's just like I told you before, it's just like when you get in the gym. If you shoot 200 shots today, right, and you only make 80, the next couple of times you go in, you're gonna make 100 next time, and then maybe like 110, then 111, then 112. Like, the more you shoot, the better you're gonna get. Mm-hmm. As long as you're shooting correctly. You know what I'm saying? And that's how I feel with comedy. Like, the more I get up, the better I get, because when a joke doesn't hit, I learn from that. And I learn to use different words, you know, a different approach on the joke. And a joke that won't hit before, if I deliver it differently, it'll probably hit this time. So
the more I get
on stage, the more chances I get to work on that same joke and to perfect it. So I definitely see myself elevating and getting better. And then you got vets in the game, older comics that always tell me, they said, look, man, I know you just started doing comedy, but you have like a stage presence. Your stage presence is there. I don't know how to explain it to you, but you don't look like you're nervous at all. You look like you got everything under control. Even when people are like trying to talk over you in the crowd, it's like that shit doesn't faze you. Mm-hmm. So
sort of like kind of like you're born for this, like how LeBron makes, like, I hate bringing him up so much, but like how LeBron, he just makes it look so easy. You know, you got a 6'5", two fucking 60 man moving like he's,
that
you know,
nigga 6'9", bro.
Oh, whatever the hell he is, that motherfucker taller than me. But at the end of the day, he's doing stuff that you normally don't see. Like you don't, and well. More along today's generation of basketball, you see it a little bit more now. We're kind of like in the norm of big men moving and doing, you know, playing in every position, because LeBron can play every position. But he just makes it look so effortless. You know what I'm saying? Like he gets out there and he's draining threes, you know, 30 footers. He can
dunk. And at his age.
Yeah, yeah. And he ain't getting any younger. And the thing is, like, it's kind of crazy because if we don't take a second to look back at when he first started up until how old he is now, that dude has been playing basketball for a very long time
at a high level.
Out the gate, he came out the gate. That's why I said, that's why I use the comparison. It's like so effortlessly, like he was born to do this. So like when you step on stage, and even the older comics, they can pick up on that. And someone as not as new, but a newcomer, as in yourself, and they can see that in you, that's kind of big too. You know what I'm saying? Because that basically shows that you're doing something right. You're learning from your mistakes. You're obviously evolving. You know, that's one thing like a lot of people lack in, is the evolution of your own character, of your own self, to keep up with the times. So like for you to sit back, you know, because anybody, especially content creators like ourselves, or anybody in general doing something like their craft or whatever it is, I think the biggest flaw that a lot of people have, at least 80%, if I had to give you a direct number, 83.7% is when they get thrown shade or rejection or tough criticism their way, they have a super, super high tendency to give up. And slow down, and then eventually their dreams or whatever is just deaded. It's just there's nothing left. And for you, even for myself and other people that I know that are still doing what they love, you know what I'm saying? Shout out Martinez got jokes. And it's
my guy.
Yeah, it's cool for you to say that, because like I said, the older guys are picking up on the newer guy coming in that are doing things that they probably went through and picked up on and learned over the you know, the time length of their career. So that's pretty dope that you can come to acceptance and see where your mistakes are, and you know, evolve from that and turn it to a bigger, better tie. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's definitely cool. That's definitely cool. So the Zoom one was after these two, or was it before?
It was before.
It was before. And how did that go?
Oh, that shit was different for me, man. Performing to a computer.
It's not the same.
And not being able to hear people laugh. It's like, it's so weird.
You should have set up your phone next to the computer. Every time you told a joke, it just hit it like a laugh reaction on your phone.
I should have, dog.
You would have set it up, bro.
Give me nerve wracking.
This simulation.
Yeah, dog, because like as a comedian, that's what you feed off of. You feed off the laughs. And like when you can't hear nobody laugh, you just gotta hope and pray that the joke hit. You know?
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's another one of these things that like everything that we're so used to doing, you know, during the pandemic, it's like we had to alter and change, and everything is so different. You know, like school is virtual, some jobs are virtual. You do everything through a computer or a phone or something like that. So it's like it takes a lot of the essence away. So I can definitely vouch for you and say that the atmosphere is lacking. And the whole vibe of you actually being in front of people to see reactions, rather than just talking to a computer and reading like comments or certain reactions or something like that. It's truly not the same, but it is. But it's like deep down inside, you know, it's just like I'm literally in my room talking to myself.
Yeah.
As blatantly as I could put it, because it the whole vibe is totally different. And like even like with everything else that like some of my friends do, like at work, they're used to, you know, have customer service jobs or whatever, and they have to do things through the computer, and they're like, bro, like I've never had to like learn how to talk virtually, if that makes any sense. Like, they're used to just being in front of people's faces and seeing reactions and talking and conversing, and then now they're doing it online through video calls or whatever like that. And even with people that you talk to every day, like when they hold work meetings and shit, they, my friends were telling me, like, people don't act the same. Like, they're you know, either they're too comfortable or they're just, you know, they're just lacking something. It's just like, you know, they put you in a different atmosphere. So it's kind of crazy that they would even, I understand that what they were trying to do, but like, to get the reaction for the comics, like you yourself, it's kind of difficult over online. So like, when you were doing your stuff, your set, like, there was people watching, were they like, because Zoom doesn't have like a comment section or anything like a Facebook Live or anything. Like, I haven't used Zoom at all in my life.
I mean, it does have a comment section, but you have to like click out of the viewing of like other people, then click into the bot. Like, it's too much. So if you're performing, you won't see it till afterwards.
Damn. That's crazy. So now you said you have three more lined up. And which one, because you said one's in Broward, one's in Miami, and one's in Dade, right? Or they're
Dade, Broward, Palm Beach County.
Palm Beach, there we go. I was like, I say Miami and Dade are the same thing. Anthony, what the fuck? Which one are you more excited for out of all three?
Oh, probably the one that's in Broward County, because I got booked from that one because I placed in that competition. So the top three people in that competition that placed are being put on a show, and the guy that beat me is headlining the show, and I'm featured on the show. So like, I'm already going in there like, I have to kill, because he already beat me once, you know what I mean? And yeah, he probably don't even know. This nigga probably gonna show up like, hey man, we're just gonna be funny, we're gonna do this. I'm like, nah nigga, I'm trying to beat you. I wanna be funnier than you.
You coming for the revenge. The LeBron James factor.
nothing personal against him, you know what I mean?
I just
wanna be able to tell myself like, yeah, I can get on stage after him, or I can be in the same room as him, and people like, yeah, he's just as funny, if not funnier.
Big facts. So rewind a little bit now. Back to the competition. Was that the grand prize? Like, if you were to win the competition, you were going to headline this show?
No, the grand prize, I believe, was $500 for the winner, $150 for second place, or $200 for second place, and like $50 for third place.
So the guy or the girl that put this show together, that this guy is headlining, that wasn't linked to him winning the competition, or they just probably got wind of it and said, okay, this dude is kind of funny. I mean, the funniest out of 10, let's book him for the headliner. Or
so basically, they found these comics, you know, all over the place. Like, they might have went to like different shows, or like, oh no, this how they did it. They put up a flyer and was like, oh, if you know any comics, comment below. Whoever gets the most votes will get into the competition. I had the most votes. I had like over like 300 people tagged me on that shit. Shout out to all my friends.
Yeah, hold on. They get one of these too. Shout out to everybody that fucking voted. Holy shit, 300 something votes.
Yeah,
I'm with it. Fuck it.
And the thing is, they weren't gonna put me on the show, but because I had so many tags, they had to. Like,
yeah, you can't disregard that. How the hell?
Yeah, because the thing is, like, it was only supposed to be 9 comics, right? Mm-hmm. And then when I talked to the dude, he's like, yeah, it's gonna be 10 now because of you. I'm like, what do you mean because of me? If it's supposed to be 9 comics, it's supposed to be 9 comics. You got to cut somebody else. Don't throw me in there because you know I'm gonna bring a lot of people with me. Be fair, right?
Yeah,
and make it 9 comics like it was supposed to be. I mean, don't throw me on the back end because you're like, damn, like, we already got our 9, but this nigga's gonna make us money and bring us a bunch of people, so we have to throw him in there. Nah, nigga. If you gonna use me like that, then take me out, nigga.
Nope. Take me out, bro.
And the thing is they probably never seen me do comedy before. That's the thing. And they're like, who's this nigga? He probably just popular. He probably not even funny like that. And I came over and I came in there and I fucked shit up, so.
Damn, jokes on them, huh? No pun intended?
Yep.
Mm. Okay, so do you know who's gonna be there at this event? As far as like comics, is there any sets or anybody there that you're looking forward to seeing or meeting there, or do you know anybody only, that's gonna show up?
Only guy that I know for sure is showing up is the guy who won first place and the guy who tied for second with me. Any other comics I don't know because they haven't made the flyer yet. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So.
Okay, so it's sort of like in the process now.
Yeah, that like I said, that one's on the 22nd. So,
got you.
Yeah.
All right. Cool, man. So, you got three lined up. You've been killing them ever since I had you on the podcast. I've been seeing the videos. I've been seeing the reception. Everybody sharing your stuff, and obviously, you know, 300 something votes for that show goes a long way, and it goes to show you that you definitely have something going for yourself. Now, with that being said, these upcoming shows, do you think that you're going to be able to deliver a little bit on the stronger side? Do you feel like you're going to be delivering something new? Are you going to be changing any of your ways, or are you just going to go in there and do what you do, you know, per show as usual?
Anytime I get on stage, I feel like I'm going to have a strong performance, but I always do something differently. You know what I mean? When before I get on stage, I always check my past shows, sees what jokes I've like that didn't hit, or what jokes got like a little bit less laughs. And then I just work on delivering it differently. So you might hear the same joke, but it's just delivered differently.
You feel me? Yeah. Yeah. Sort of like a remix.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I want to get the most laughs I can out of a joke. So if I have to tweak a joke like 10, 12, 30, 40, 50 times, I'm going to do it.
I can understand that. Yeah, that makes sense. Especially like even when you watch like shows or past comedy shows like on TV, certain like specials and stuff like that. Sometimes you hear the same joke, but it's not. They might add a little something to the end or something to the beginning and basically like kind of flip it. But it's still fucking funny. So I could definitely agree with that. If it ain't broke, don't fix it kind of mentality.
Right.
You know, so that's dope, too. That's dope. So, also with the new shows, have you met anybody in the up until now that actually gave you maybe good advice, or actually showed you something new, or gave you a certain push of inspiration, or anything like that?
Yeah, there's a the one of the first shows that I did out here is a dude named Pookie F Baby, right? They call him Pookie.
Yeah,
right. And he gave me like a lot of good advice. He's the one who told me like, hey man, you have something, you know, just keep doing it. You already got, you know, people behind you. You know, you're funny. You know, you're a very witty writer. You have stage presence. Just keep at it. You know what I mean? And he kind of like when I first met him, he just kind of like took me in and gave me advice along the way. And he's always like, you know, trying to critique me and just trying to help me, you know, just be a better comedian. So shouts out to Pookie. Also, another dude that I met, he from Orlando, though. He came down here during the pandemic. His name is Chris Winwall. He was actually on the Shade Room for like a funny like remix that he did about like COVID. Mm-hmm. He did that. Have you heard I'm Different? Yeah, I'm Different. You know the song by 2K?
Yeah.
He did a remix. But it was like a COVID remix. Like, I think it goes, I'm distant. Yeah, I'm distant. Pull up to the scene. Pull up to the scene with my sanitizer. Some shit. I don't know. I forgot the lyrics.
Yeah, yeah.
It was so funny. It made it on the Shade Room. And I was working a room one night, and he came in there, and I was like, oh, shit. I'm like, yo, you the dude that did this. And me and him became, like, really cool. And, like, we'd be going to shows together, and I'll watch him do his set. He'll watch me do my set, and we'll just talk to each other about, like, you know, how we could be better comedians. Oh, and one more guy, another guy named he's from LA, and I didn't know. It's weird. He's a Haitian nigga that lived in LA. I'm like, nigga, I thought I was the only one.
Shout out to the two Haitians out there living in LA. Yeah. My dog Ty and his own boy. Yeah,
his name is Bradless. I met him at the Outside show that I did, and he was like, oh, heard you say you're from LA. I'm like, yeah, man. He's like, and you're Haitian? I was like, yeah. He's like, man, this shit's meant to be. So then, like, me and him became cool, and like me, him, and Chris, we always, you know, just critique each other and try and you know, put our little inputs in to make each other better. So like, those three guys, man, I really I appreciate them, because you know they are I don't know what the word is, but they are important to my growth in comedy, because they're definitely helping me become a better comedian.
Now you got me thinking of a prime example we can set them for. I was gonna say something like forefathers, but that's like somebody way ahead of your time. Let's just say inspiration. They're always looking out for you, giving you advice, telling you what's good, keeping you in the loop, letting you know what I'm saying, what to work on, what went right, what went wrong, et cetera, et cetera. So just all around good people. We're just going to call them good people.
Mm-hmm.
Family. The comedy family. But that's dope, because, you know, that ties into what we were talking about earlier. You know, the support system is really big, and content mm-hmm. creating, and you know, everything that we do, even if it's from podcasting to being a stand-up comedian, and meeting genuinely good people is not only hard nowadays, because everybody's looking for the next back to step on to get above somebody mm-hmm. else nowadays. It's more prominent than ever. I don't know why, mm-hmm. but I guess that's just like 2020 is over with. 2021 is the season of people that are just will scam you, turn their backs on you, or don't give two shits. So to find somebody, you know, you have a group of people that are surrounded around you, and you feel genuinely okay with sharing you know, your ways with them, and they're giving you genuinely good output and advice and inspiration is really dope. So that's cool that they can you know, intertwine with you and your comedy, and always be there to help you, and you know, to be there to talk to you about, you know, certain things and stuff like that. That's the same thing with me. You know, I got a couple of podcast brothers, and I got a couple of good friends that's been here since day one, and they always giving me, you know, certain critiques and certain things that, you know, oh, this episode was great, this episode was kind of off because of this or whatever, you know, just throwing me some good, you know, some good bones, you know, like I'll catch up on what I need to change, or you know, what was good, I'll write it down, what they liked and what they didn't like, et cetera, et cetera. And then, you know, good constructive criticism. Not everybody's out there to hate you. as much as you see people out there that will just shit on you entirely, not everybody is out there, you know, to shit on your parade. And knowing the difference between constructive criticism and hate is really big too, you know, like especially in our field, you know, a lot of people will listen to my podcast and they might feel a certain type of way about what we were talking about, you know, like I have touched on a lot of subjects mm-hmm. since I started, and but the one surprisingly that I get the most like interaction with is the music. You know,
mm-hmm.
go figure, you know, being an ex-rapper. But It's music, you know. So a lot of people, when we make, like me and Chris make these lists or these you know, top tens or top fives of certain artists when we do artist spotlight, because Tuesday is gonna be, I don't know if you saw my my story, but Tuesday is gonna be a really big one. We've been planning for this one for a long time. We're actually gonna do Michael Jackson on Tuesday. So
oh word,
yeah we're gonna we sat down because we kind of in. Right, I think it was at the end of the end of 2020 into 2021, we were kind of made like a future list of artist spotlights that we wanted to do. We agreed that let's do like our favorite artists, like out the gate. You know, we did Drake, we did Wayne, we did Mac, we did Ace. You know, we did DMX. We did a lot. We did a lot of artists already. But I was like, for the big names, you know what I'm saying? Like the big names, let's save them towards, you know, the end. Let's get like maybe 10 artist spotlights done. And then we could bring in like Michael Jackson and, you know, like the bigger names. So I hollered at Chris because, you know, he just came off of his surgery and stuff like that. And I was like, we should bring back the artist spotlight next week. And he agreed that let's do Michael Jackson. So we're running with that on Tuesday. We're going to do We're gonna do top 10 favorite songs. We're gonna do our favorite album, and we're gonna be discussing like how he changed like the music video game. You know what I'm saying, with all his music videos? Because the guy has, for back in that time, those videos were crazy. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. you could just bring up Thriller and have a whole podcast conversation about Thriller alone.
His videos are like mini movies. You have Thriller, you have Remember the Time, you have Beat It.
Yes.
you have fucking Billie Jean. You have fucking Smooth Criminal.
Yeah, see.
He did a whole movie with Smooth Criminal.
Moonwalker, bitch.
Moonwalker. Joe Pesci was in it.
Mike gets two horns.
Fucking Joe Pesci, dog. Frankie Ladeo.
Yeah, Mike.
That was his name in the movie.
Mike was making moves, man. So yeah, Tuesday is gonna be. I think that's probably gonna be a very, very long episode because I know that we're gonna be rambling off on the songs alone, and then like the albums. His catalog is crazy, and I agreed. I'm late to the party, but I never finished the documentary. What was it? I think it was His Story. I think it was.
Yeah.
And he asked me if I watched that. I said I started. I never finished it. I'm gonna finish it up tomorrow. And we're also going to be talking about that documentary and stuff like that. And we might get a little political. You know what I'm saying? We might touch on, you know, the accusations and allegations and stuff like that. But I told him I don't want to touch too much on that because I think talking about that kind of like tarnishes his legacy a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Because it was never proven. So I can't, you know, he's not here to defend himself. So I don't want to talk bad upon the dead, obviously. But it's going to be a dope episode. I think you'll like that one a lot because I know a lot of people are MJ fans. And as much as I troll y'all on Facebook, because you know I'm the king troller. Ty knows. I be talking shit about MJ, but I be in here. I know the Beat It dance. You know, I do my shit. I got his shit saved. I be trolling with y'all. I like him and Prince equally. Okay, maybe MJ a little bit more, but you didn't hear that on the podcast. I be fucking with y'all. Because y'all need to show Prince some respect too. Y'all be acting like Prince ain't killing shit. Not you entirely.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, because you know, I like to push people's buttons on Facebook. That's what I do. You know, I've been talking about Mortal Kombat for a whole week and a half now, just pushing people's buttons. But man, Prince is another one that I want to do too. I don't know how deep Chris goes with Prince, but I want to do Prince too because I think when a lot of people talk about famous singers, like they just not bringing up my boy as much. I'm like, y'all sleep. Mm-hmm. Y'all sleep. I know MJ's the king, bro. I know this. Trust me. That was like the second album that I got when I was young. The first album you didn't hear here on the podcast either was a Backstreet Boys album. And then what album was that? With the black and white, and that was the one where his face is on the cover with the mask. It's like a mask. What is that?
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about MJ. The one with the black and white song.
God damn,
what is it called? I'm about to look it up. I feel like an asshole right now. Cause I can't remember. Yeah. It's like black and it's got the eyes on it. And Dangerous.
Dangerous.
Jesus. Yes. Dangerous.
Yeah. Dangerous.
That was the first album that I actually got. That was the one with Jam from Space Jam, and you know, Heal the World and Black and White and stuff like that. So that was my first album, like my first actual album, next to like, you know, the little dumb albums that my mom got me. Because, you know, my mom being who she is, you know, let's just keep it real, you know, she's white. She wasn't letting me listen to no DMX and, you know, none of this rap shit. I had to listen to all that on the slide. And ironically, my first rap album was Wu-Tang, Enter the 36 Chambers. So it's gonna be a dope episode because I know we're gonna just dive in every fucking angle of Michael Jackson. So it's dope. I'll keep you updated. That's next Tuesday for all of you that actually listen to the podcast and follow the TRC. Shout out to Chris. But back to Ty before we got distracted. Back to Ty. Mm-hmm. as far as your work ethic, has anything changed in preparation? I'm real big on how people prepare themselves. Like I've been getting a lot of not requests, but sort of like asked, like how do I start a podcast, or how do you start your podcast? Like how do you prepare yourself for a podcast? And I tell people the same thing every time. You know, I give myself a week. You know, usually I do. That's why I decided to go with Fridays, and I have a whole week to prepare. You know, I write down questions. I dig deep in whoever I'm talking about or whatever subject I'm talking about. I write my notes. I always highlight the big sections, the big segments. And because I don't plan any of this talking. Every time you guys hear me on the podcast or even when I'm talking to Ty right here, this is all real, raw, live in effect. Like, this is coming from me reading a question, rewording it in my mind and stating it to Ty. And then, you know, we do the podcast through that. So has any of your preparation skills or any of the ways that you prepare for shows or prepare jokes, has any of that changed since the last episode?
No, the preparation is the same. I have the jokes already written. Mm-hmm. I line them up how I want to, like, deliver them. But before I do that, I will go back, look at old footage, you know, of the last show that I did, see what it is I can fix, attempt to fix it, maybe go do like some open mics, try to deliver it a different way. If I feel like I got it, then I'll put a check mark next to that joke. And then once I do all that for the jokes that I'm going to perform, line them up, probably perform it a couple of times in the mirror. And then, you know, and then go on by my business when the show comes up.
Does that really work, performing in the mirror? Do you feel differently when you say your jokes from the paper or your phone to the mirror yourself, when you actually see yourself, you know, stating the joke how you would want to portray it?
Well, doing it in the mirror, it really just helps me with memorizing it.
Okay, okay, you know what okay. I
mean? And when you memorize something and when you know, like, the back of your head, like, you on the fly, you can throw things in there and it won't fuck up the joke because you know the joke on the back of your head. Like, you don't forget. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, really, I just do that for memory, just for muscle memory.
Okay, so big facts. Because I see it a lot. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's portrayed in movies and shows and stuff. Like, it's one of those, like, unwritten rules that you see, like, you know, in the movies more than anything. Like, the comic would, you know, say something in the mirror and, like, kind of boost up his confidence and stuff. I always wondered if that actually worked.
I don't do it to boost my confidence. I just do it to help me remember it. So, because there's been times I got on stage and I completely forgot a joke. And I have to, like, either freestyle the rest of it or just go on to the next joke. Nobody notices it because they never heard the joke before, but I do.
Yeah, yeah. So let me ask you this now. Since let's say you're on stage, right? And you say a couple of jokes. Maybe you're in 3 or 4 minutes. You're in 3 or 4 minutes. You laid probably maybe 2 to 3 jokes. And you get no reaction from the fans or from the audience. What's going through your mind then? Is it, do I have to kick it up a notch, or do I just hurry up and say what I need to say to get the fuck off the stage because these people ain't feeling me? Or how does Ty deal with that situation if he's getting no reaction from the audience?
So what's my first thought?
Yeah.
The fuck is wrong with these niggas? I'm funny. Who the hell you think you are?
That sounds like you too. That's the funny part.
And it's like, all right, you want to be tough? I can make it miserable for both of us. I'm going to use all my 20 minutes. I'm not rushing shit. You're going to hear every joke I got to say. And I'm going to continue to perform, man. I'm not going to rush myself off stage. Cuz I learned this, like, from Bernie Mac, man. Like, that night, I know you've seen the shit where he comes on stage. He's like, "I'm not scared of you, motherfuckers."
Yeah, right?
You know why? You know why he was saying that, right? Because that whole night, everybody was getting booed off stage.
Damn.
Everybody was getting booed off stage. So then Bernie came out, and this was like the first time he's ever did that. He's ever done a Def Comedy Jam.
Yeah.
And he came out there, and everybody's looking at him, and he's like, "I'm letting you know right now, I'm not scared of y'all."
I'm not scared of you, motherfuckers.
Yeah. I ain't scared of you, motherfuckers.
Goddamn, Bernie. Yeah.
So, you know, you just gotta have that mentality, because once you're scared, they, man, listen, the audience is like sharks, man. They can smell the blood in the water. once you start like showing fear, they can see it. They can see the nervousness in you.
Yeah, yeah. You know,
you can't show that shit.
Since you brought that up, like Sharks in the Water, the first thing that comes to mind is Showtime at the Apollo. Remember when it was on TV?
Mm-hmm.
And remember when certain acts, comedies, comics mm-hmm. would go up there and they would tell like a joke or two and they would get nothing? And then mm-hmm. it was just slowly, you hear like the boos coming, and then it just slowly, then it just rises and then erupts. And then it's just like, yeah, get your ass off the stage. And it's like they have the power, basically. And that's another thing too. Like when you're up there, you're just by yourself. You don't have a backup plan or mm-hmm. nobody there to catch you if you fall in this case. So like the audience has the power. So sometimes it's overwhelming, like you said. Like they'll show you, like, bro, like, nah, bro, like this ain't it, bro. Get the mm-hmm. fuck off the fucking stage.
Yep.
But I do agree, you are one funny dude. So like if they're not laughing, it's just like, bro, like, you know what I mean? Like, come on now. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Or I got a question better for you. This is just freestyle off the top of the dome. You go out there, you do a set, you get a so-so reaction, right? From your mm-hmm. jokes or whatever. You're like, it's just a tough crowd tonight, whatever, and you pay no mind, get you a little soda or a little drink, and you're chilling in the back or mm-hmm. out in the audience. And another comic comes up and tells cornier jokes, like stupid jokes, and gets a better reaction than you do.
That's definitely happened.
How do you deal with that? How do you feel about that? You probably want to snap, right? You want to die.
Yeah, because there's times like, you know, I have jokes that I sat there and I wrote, and I know that they're funny because I performed them before.
Yeah.
And some of them, like, they just go over people's heads sometimes. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then you got sometimes, and then you got these comments that go up there and I'm like, man, the girl got these ugly ass toes, man. Her toes was doing this, her toes was doing that. Oh man, her feet nasty. Ah! And everybody's laughing. I'm like, bro, what the fuck? What am I doing wrong?
Yeah. it's just I guess it comes down to like, I guess what you find funny.
And that's something that I'm working on. Like, you got to know your crowd. Because now, because that happened, I have jokes for these type of crowds. I have jokes for these type of crowds. I have jokes for these type of crowds.
Yeah, that plays its part too. That's good research skills too. Because obviously everybody's funny bone is not the same, or we would just be telling the same jokes every day and we'd be getting paid for it. You know what I'm saying? So that's definitely good on your part that you can go back and say like, you know, hey, this crowd might be into sports, or this crowd might be into, you know, real world problems, you know, third world problems. Like, why the fuck McDonald's ice cream maker doesn't fucking work half the time I go get McDonald's mm-hmm. or something. So that's good research skills too, because like I said, man, everybody's different. And for you to understand that definitely puts you in a higher bracket than other people, because I've seen a lot of my homeboys or friends of friends that are, you know, stand-up comics or IG comedians or TikTok comedians, and sometimes they're just not funny, and they get like a lot of reactions from people, and I'm like, but I know somebody that's like 10 times funnier than this man. Like, what is so funny about this shit? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and the first person that pops up into my mind when I talk about, you know, other people being corny and then you feeling some type of way because you thought, you know, actually that your jokes were better was, what's that guy's name that was on IG? King Batch? Whatever the fuck his name is?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I used to, when he first came on the scene, I was like, damn, this dude is kind of funny. He's kind of mm-hmm. fucking funny. And then after he got his fame, got a million or so followers on IG or whatever, I look back on his content now and I'm like, this is fucking corny. Like, it's really corny. And then,
the thing with King, he knows his audience, man.
That's the thing. Yeah, you know that's the thing. Because when I go in the comments, it's like people are acting like this is the funniest shit in the fucking world. I'm like, bro, this is ass. Like,
he's on fire.
It's fucking ass. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I heard things about a lot of these, you know, Instagram comedians. And this would be bothering me, man. Like, they call themselves comedians, but you know, because you do a little 30-minute sketch or you do a TikTok, you're not a comedian. Comedians write jokes and perform them. You know what I'm saying? But mm-hmm. whatever, you want to call yourself a comedian, okay, that's cool. But these same people that call themselves comedians, they go and do stand up and they go up there and, you know, suck their own dick. Mm. You know what I mean? And bomb like a motherfucker.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
because there's a big difference between being TikTok IG funny and actually doing your own stand up. I think the next person in line that comes to mind is Fat and Funny.
Mm-hmm.
He can do both. I've actually sat down and saw Fat and Funny do a stand up, and I was legit laughing. Like, I'm watching his videos on IG, and he's solely like, other than you, is the only other person that I can say like can do both. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Because I still laugh.
Did a show with him.
Yeah, I still laugh at the fucking at your video where you stole the laptop at the party. I still laugh at that shit like six months later, dog. So, and then I look at your stand up stuff, and when you post like IG stories or you doing jokes or actually, you know, a whole tidbit of the show, I'm actually fucking laughing. You know what I'm saying? So that's another one I would put in there. Fat and Funny. You said your boy did a show with him.
Yeah.
And that was probably down here, right? I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The show that he did with him was down here, but yeah, Fan Funny is actually, you know, funny.
And he's been getting a little traction as of lately. I've been seeing him do a lot of stuff with, like, you know, bigger comedians and everything. Like every now and then he'll have a post with somebody big, and I'm like, oh, mm-hmm. he's actually making moves. You know what I'm saying? And he's always been consistent too with mm-hmm. his content, which is another big thing too. You know. You know, doing different things, and it's another one of those things. I am a sucker for multi personalities. Except for the only exception I'll put is Tyler Perry. I don't really like Tyler Perry that much. but yeah, shots fired, bro. Shots fired.
He's heating up.
But like multi personalities, like the Martin Lawrence, you know, with mm-hmm. his TV show, he has like five other fucking people that he does, and he nails them.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Fat and Funny has, you know, like the Gene, you know, we up, kid, mm-hmm. and you know the new ones, you know, like who he has the. What's the thug one? That's Hell Rail. And then he has the other one. I don't know if Hell Rail is the same person, but the one where he does like the toxic relationships with him and the girl. I'm a sucker for multi-personality shit like that. When you could play multiple roles and do different things mm-hmm. like that, it's an instant like for me. Like that's how I was so drawn to Martin, like growing up.
Yeah.
You know, because not only did it take me a while because I was young to finally figure out that it's him, because mm-hmm. I was gullible when I was, you know, 10, 11, 12 years old when it was out. And then when I come to find out when I got older that it was him doing multiple personalities, it's like, bro, like this man can touch anything, you know?
Yeah.
So that's a dope thing. So shout out to Fat Funny. I fuck with Fat, yeah. man. I've been with him following him for a long time.
I got my new series that's about to drop. You know, I did the Brother Shabazz shit, right?
Yeah.
So that's one character I had. And then I got like this nigga, Chief Sterling, the chief of the horny police. Have you seen that shit?
And the dude, that's your Twitter handle too, right?
Yeah, chief of the horny police. I see you got
the badge.
I got a legit badge. This is, listen, the badge, don't ask me how I did it, but this badge is actually made by the same factory that makes, you know, police badges and firemen badges and shit like that. So it's actually legit. It's legit, legit.
I seen it on Twitter. I meant to hit you up about that shit. I was scrolling and I seen a badge, and then I was like, what the fuck? And I read it, and the said, chief of the horny police. I said, this motherfucker done lost his goddamn mind. This man's got an actual badge, bro. But that's dope as shit, man. That you know what I'm saying? You can do, you know, different characters and shit like that. That's always been like one of my biggest draws to like comedians and stuff like that. Well, mine is the greats like Bernie and stuff like that. Bernie and, you know, like certain individuals like Cat Williams and stuff like that, there are just like, those are just, they're set in stone. Like that's who they are. But if a comedian can give you multiple avenues and mm-hmm. be funny at it and do whatever the fuck it is, you know what I'm saying? Like Martin is the prime example. He can play a chick. He can do, you know, he's a kung fu master. All this shit, you know what I'm saying? Even like in Blue Streak, the pizza delivery scene is one of my favorite scenes. And it's like, you know, it's just an elevation and an evolution of your character. So if you're digging into that shit, that's dope as fuck too. Because then now a lot of people will get drawn into your multi-personality scheme skits. And then they'll find out who you are personally and they'll like you even much more. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like a win-win mm-hmm. situation. So that's pretty dope, man. That's pretty dope.
Yeah.
So, with that being said, before we get into the rapid-fire questions, I got one more question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Where does Ty see himself in 5 years?
5 years?
5 years.
I see myself regularly doing comedy. You know what I mean? At that point, I would. I don't think I'd be working like a regular job as much. Comedy would be like my only avenue of making money. Also, I see myself writing, maybe for like a sitcom or a comedic show or some shit like that. Because I've been doing like comedic writing for a while, and then now like I got into like an actual class that's teaching me like, you know, how to format it and nice. And all that shit.
Nice.
And the teacher was telling me, he's like, man, like, you're really good at this. Like, I'm surprised you haven't looked into like becoming a comedic writer like sooner. So, you know, in 5 years, I see myself regularly doing comedy, not working a regular job as much, and, you know, just living off of my comedy. I don't have to be rich doing it, but just making a living off just comedy. You know what I mean? That's where I see myself in 5 years. 5 years after that, I see myself with, you know, maybe a Netflix special or HBO special, one of those, Showtime.
Mm. That's what's up. Yeah, I'll be down, bro. I'm just gonna be walking around like, hey, guess what? I know this motherfucker. I know this motherfucker.
Like the nigga, he told me, man. He told me. He said it.
Yeah, I'm gonna be like, man. He brought it to manifestation. You know, 5 years ago on my podcast, bro. Now we both eating. Because in 5 years, I hope to get some type of sponsorship. Somebody come get me, bro. Joe Rogan, somebody. Sirius Satellite. Somebody, bitch, come get me, bro. Get me out the hood,
for
bro.
Real.
Get me out the
for
hood,
for real, dog.
So I can buy my mama a new crib.
That's the goal.
Man.
That's what we all trying to do, dog.
Hell yeah, hell yeah. Sorry. All right. With that being said, I got a couple rapid fire questions. I thought I'd bring back the rapid fire segment with none other than your boy Ty Sterling. So I got a couple of questions here. Whatever comes to mind, you know, whatever, just shoot away. Pause. Mm-hmm. All right, this one is kind of generic, but I had to ask it. What is Ty's favorite joke, if you had one?
My favorite joke. Damn. Oh, my! Like the one that I perform, or just my favorite joke in general?
It's up to you. You choose your favorite joke, or just in general.
In general, my favorite joke will probably be Dave Chappelle on For What It's Worth mm-hmm. when he talks about when he was in D.C. and he had a crackhead break his window for a chocolate bar that was on his fucking seat. And the nigga was like, he's like, I walked around D.C. for hours looking for a bum with chocolate on his face. I did that.
I remember that shit.
And he said, I found the nigga. I said, hey, what's all this chocolate on your face, motherfucker? And he goes, chocolate? This doo-doo, baby. Oh!
Boom shakalaka!
That joke is so fucking funny to me, dog.
I think that's
when I was like, man, I love this shit. At that moment, because I was already a big fan.
Yeah.
At that moment, I was like, dog, this nigga can do no wrong. I love this guy forever.
I think it's Dave's delivery. Like 90% of the time, it's his delivery. Because he can make the most generic joke. Like, this, that is like a generic, like, fifth grader joke. Like, you know, like, what is that? What's all this chocolate on your face? And it's this doo-doo, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's so generic. But the way Dave, you know, just announces it and delivers the joke, it just makes you fucking, you know what I'm saying? It just makes you fall in love with his character, dog. Dave is one of my all-time favorites. That motherfucker, he can't do no wrong, like you said, man. Yeah. He can't do no wrong. I still got the motherfucking seasons on DVD somewhere in my mama house. I got to find that shit.
Yeah, I'm looking at them right now. Mine are still sealed.
Wow.
They're still sealed. Yeah.
Keep that shit. That shit might be worth money in like 10 years, 20 years, bro. Wow,
man,
that's crazy.
That's my favorite joke, man.
God damn. Up next we have here... Other than I probably already know the answer to this. This, like I said, these were generic as hell. I actually made these up on the way home from work. That's how lazy I was. Besides comedy, what does Ty do for fun? If I had to guess, I'm just gonna say basketball.
You know I hoop, dog. That's what I do. I hoop.
So you still go to LA and all that shit and go there and lace up and talk shit?
They just opened the courts back up, dog. I was there for 4 hours over there like a crackhead.
God damn.
You know what I mean?
Just that shit was probably packed, right? It was packed?
No, it wasn't packed, man. It was a decent amount of people, but it wasn't packed.
Okay.
So I went there at first. I got my shots, my 300 makes up. And then, like, people started coming in, and then I just started playing. And I was there for, like, 4 hours. I was just hooping.
Did you do good?
Yeah, nigga. I mean, I haven't played in a while. First couple of games, I was rusty as fuck. But, you know, it's like riding a bike, man. Once you get the hang of it, you get right back in it.
Facts. Yeah, I'm actually out of sign back up to the gym. The other day, I got out of the shower and I was like, "Yo, your boy is getting thick." I was like, "Your boy is thick." So I was like, I told my wife the other day, I was like, "Hey, I'm gonna sign back up to the gym," and she was like, "No, the fuck you not." And I was like, "Why not?" She's like, "So you can go get thin and muscular for all these hoes out here in these streets." I'm like, "Bro, I come home to you, but I mean, like, I got love handles now, bro. It took me 34 years to get these love handles. I don't like them, bro."
Listen to me, okay? I got high cholesterol, high sodium, and shit. I need to go run.
I told her I'm getting old, bro. I'm getting old, bro.
You want me to be fat at 38, I'm gonna have heart disease because of your ass. You better let me hit this gym.
I told her, man. I gave her the whole sad treatment. I'm like sitting there talking to her in my head now. I'm like, I'm just not happy with the way I look now, babe. I don't know what's going on, bro. I had a six pack 6 years ago. What's going on?
What's going on?
Then I was like, should I turn the tables? And be like, it's your fault. It's your fucking fault.
You feeding me all this good food,
cooking all
shit?
This goddamn Spanish food. I'm fucked up now. The doctor took my blood. And he said he heard maracas in the fucking blood.
He's heating up.
I love you, baby. If you hear this shit, I love you, bro. I love your cooking. Your chicken and everything is fire.
And that's why you gaining the weight, nigga.
Oh, man.
It's a compliment.
My doctor put the stethoscope on my chest and he heard suavemente, bro. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
boom, shakalaka.
All right.
It can't be good, nigga. I hear Bad Bunny in there.
Not the Bad Bunny, though. Oh, man. He told me to cough and he heard Pitbull. You know what I'm saying? Like, Jesus Christ.
He's heating up.
All right.
You
don't
want to do comedy, dog?
Hey, man, I'm a funny ass dude. I don't want to toot my own horn. I'm all right. I might make an appearance one day and do like two jokes and bounce, because as soon as they start booing me, I'm swinging on the first motherfucking the first row, dog.
I tell niggas all the time, I was like, look, man, if you ever want to do comedy, just do an open mic. You know, they give you 5 minutes. That's enough to do two jokes.
Yeah, get your shit across, yeah.
You know, or if you like nice like that, you could get in like 5 jokes, you know, but. You know, you do a little open mic or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, see how you like it, and it's usually with other comics. So you're not gonna get booed at an open mic. It's other comics there. You're not doing a show.
Facts. I might look into it. You know, some people say I was funny growing up. You know, I just never took it serious. I was trying to be a rapper, goddammit. I was trying to be like Drake. You know what I'm saying? Serenading, baby. You already know. Shit. All right. next question. Oh, man. Which comic annoys you the most? Ooh.
Annoys me.
Yes. Which comic you just see on IG or on a video or Facebook and just say, this motherfucker trash?
I'm going to give you, I would guess, one of each. So actual stand-up comedian that annoys the shit out of me, besides Ari Shaffir, which is the obvious reason, because he came on and he did that joke about Kobe when Kobe died. Mm-hmm. And I remember DMing him. I was like, if you come to the Comedy Store tonight, I'm going to punch in your face.
Damn.
Don't come to the Comedy Store.
Damn.
And I was like, I'm going to be out there with some Crip niggas. So, you know, Joe Rogan can't save you, because Joe Rogan is like his good homeboy.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, I said, I'm going to be out there with some gangsters, so Joe Rogan can't save me. I'm going to punch you in the face. Damn. He never showed up. But, so that's Ari Shaffir, right? Because all his jokes are based off of, like, really bad, like, racial shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, racism and like shock value. So this shit might not be funny, but he just says it for shock value, and you know, I don't like that shit. It's a gimmick. That's what they call a hack. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He's a hack. Like he just does shit for shock value. Yeah, and another comic that bothers me, Carlos Mencia.
Really?
Yes, and this is what I'm gonna tell you. Not a lot of people know this because you kind of really have to be like into like comedy like a lot. But that nigga steals jokes. Go on YouTube when you're not busy and look up Joe Rogan versus Carlos Mencia. Joe Rogan called him out for stealing jokes and shit, and Carlos was like, "So what? You know what I mean? Damn. If I can take a joke and perform it better, so what?" And that's why whenever you go to the comedy store, niggas have like a secret like, "Yo." We have like a secret code or like a look that we give each other. Like, yo, Carlos is here. Don't do your good jokes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Because he will steal them.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So
Joe called him out for that, or was he stealing Joe's shit?
No, Joe called him out for stealing other people's jokes.
Oh, okay.
He wanted to steal. Joe's about to whoop his ass. You know Joe do that MMA shit.
Yo, Joe can whoop some ass, bro. I've seen some videos. That not only does that motherfucker have a hell of a podcast, but that motherfucker can fight. I don't care what.
Yeah, he can fight,
bro. They showed a video of him. I seen him on. I think it was like a IG post or some shit.
And, when he was kicking that dude.
Oh, hell no. I was like, bro. But the funny thing was, I think there was. If you watch that whole segment, there's a whole segment to that video. There is a professional MMA fighter. That kicked the bag before him, and he was supposedly like the strongest kicker or whatever. Like he had some sort of title. Like he's just known for kicking bitches. Like he'll really kick your head off type shit.
Yeah.
And he kicked the bag. I was like, ooh, damn, that looks kind of bad. That I ain't fucking with him. And then they put Joe. I'm like, Joe, come on, bro, really? And Joe was kicking the bag harder than the professional.
Than the dude. Yeah.
I was like,
people don't know that Joe like. He trains, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like he's just not there announcing the shit. Like he's knee deep in the shit.
Yeah, and I remember him and Wesley Snipes were supposed to fight like a celebrity fight, and they had to call it off because I don't think Wesley did not know that Joe was like that.
Yeah,
they had to tell that nigga, hey man, he will hurt you.
Fuck you up, bro.
He's not a regular celebrity, dog. He will fuck you up. And that's why when I told Ari, I was like, hey, Joe can't save you. I had to emphasize, I'm going to be there with Crips, nigga.
I'll be there with some real motherfuckers, bro.
Because if anything, this nigga Joe will whoop both our ass. You know what I mean? If it was just me and one other homeboy, he will beat both of us. So I had to make sure like I have backup, nigga. Because I'm not fucking with Joe. Cause nah. I see Joe all the time at the comedy store, man.
You met him before? You talked to him? Say what's up?
Yeah. I mean, I haven't got to say like a whole conversation because he's always on the move. But I always like I see him, I dap him up and shit like that.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool.
Tell him good luck on his shit or whatever, or tell him, oh yeah, you know you got a good set, man. Good set.
Goddamn.
One of these days, one of these days, I hope I get up and like you know he sees me do my set and he could tell me you know, hey man, you did good up there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like that's like one of the ultimate compliments. Like from somebody of that stature, bro. Like, man, like, you know what I'm saying? That same thing with me. Like, he can come to you because, you know, he was a comic at one time, too. That's a jack of all trades, obviously.
Yeah. He is like the Jamie Foxx of like that world. You know, cause you know how Jamie Foxx is like talented. He could do so many different things.
Yeah, yeah.
He like Joe Rogan is like his own version of that. The nigga could fight. He's telling jokes. He got his own podcast. He had his own show at one point, you know what I mean? Fear Factor.
Yeah.
That's where the shit started. That's where like his fame started. So that nigga's just everywhere.
And does UFC.
And he'll beat your ass.
He does it all, bro. He does it all.
Yeah.
Switching up the tables a little bit. What is the first thing you notice about the opposite sex? When you see a shorty from 30 feet away, what's the first thing you notice?
Her face, right? But specifically on her face, like her eyes and her smile.
Okay.
Yeah.
For some reason, like, I don't mean to cut you off. For some reason, something told me that you were going to say feet.
No, I'm not a feet guy. I mean, feet is nice, but I'm not a feet guy.
I don't know why. Pause, but I was like, this motherfucker going to say toes or some shit.
Nah, hell
nice,
no.
Nice kneecaps.
Her eyes and her mouth. So, like, my ex, right? My ex that I was with for, like, 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
What drew me into her, she had, like, these nice eyes. She, you know, she's Asian, so, you know, her eyes are slanted, but she just had nice eyes. You know what I'm saying? And that just drew me in. If you got nice eyes and, like, I don't really care for when girls do lashes and shit like that, but if you do your lashes, too, and they look nice, and mm-hmm. you got nice eyes on top of that, I might propose to you that same day.
Damn. It's like that, bro.
Yeah,
better side of prenup.
I'm telling you, man. Like my ex, like I don't wanna.
Yeah, let's not go down that route, bro.
Talk bad about it. But she ain't really had like a big ass like that. Everybody know Bones. Like Bones, every time Bones with a chick, it's always with a chick who got a fat ass. My ex ain't really have ass like that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
She drew me in with something else. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Sometimes it's not about the physical. You know, yeah. Particularly this question, obviously, but all around, it's usually, you know what I'm saying? Because I don't want to toot my own horn. And baby, if you're listening, you know what I'm saying? Baby, if you're listening, this is in the past. You know what I'm saying? I've been happily married 8 years, bro. I'm not fucking with that shit.
I hear you, bro. You got you.
Yeah, I've had my decent shares of like different looks in women. I've dated white girls. I've dated Spanish girls. I've dated mixed girls. Light skinned, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And all of them were different. Like, I don't have like a set type, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, a lot of people like, oh, she gotta have ass and titties, and that's like it. Like, ass and titties. Some didn't have no titties, and some had a whole hell of ass. Some had no ass, and some had a whole hell of a lot of titties, or a mixture of both, or they're just all around just a pretty female. Like, a female can be pretty without the most, I don't want to say obnoxious, but the most noticeable, recognizable physical features or attributes,
right.
I should say. So, right. I mean, to each its own, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't got to defend nobody. I don't got to say shit to nobody about who the fuck I'm with. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, right. I had a conversation. I'm going to bring it up again. Fuck it, my wife. My wife, we in the car, we driving. What we was doing today? I think we were shopping. I think was we shopping? Yeah, I think we were shopping, and we were gonna go get some food, yada yada yada. And as we're going home, yeah, we went to Wawa and got some food. And on the way home, she's like, "Hey, I know you're probably not gonna like this, but I'm thinking about getting my boobs done." I'm like, "What? Why?" You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'm like, why? And she's like, oh, I've been thinking about it. I've been doing, you know, this and this and that. And I told her, I'm like, well, first of all, I mean, it's your body. It's up to you. But I'm just going to tell you how I feel about the whole situation. I was like, I'm not asking for it. You know what I'm saying? I'm not asking for that. I love you for who you are and what you are, regardless of how you may look or what changes or what stays and et cetera, et cetera. So I told her, I was like, I'm not really up for it. But I mean, like, you know, at the end of the day, it's your decision. I can't tell you, you know, what to do, you know, and how to live your life. If you feel like this is something that you want to do, I mean, I support it. But at the end of the day, just know I'm not the one asking for it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I love you the way you are now. You know what I'm saying?
Listen to me. Give yourself a round of applause.
Oh, because wait a minute. Hold on.
I'm gonna tell you why in a second. You wanna know why you give yourself a round of applause?
Why? What's up?
Because you passed the fucking test. It was a test, nigga, goddammit.
No, but she's dead ass gonna get them done.
She's gonna go do it, right? But think about it. If I go up to my girl and say, babe, I think I'm gonna go to Dr. Miami and get the penis extension.
Ooh.
You know what I mean? She's gonna be like, now, if my girl was like, for real? And she's too fucking excited, I'm like, hey, hold on, wait, what are you saying? Are you saying my shit's small? You know what I mean? You gotta understand with women, everything is like, it's like everything is like a two-sided question. It's like a trick question, okay? It's just like when they ask you, do I look fat in this? You know what I'm saying?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
It's the same shit. If you get too, if you, for example, you like boobs.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you like her to have bigger boobs? You know what I mean? Not saying that you don't like the boobs she got now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But why wouldn't you want her to, you know, get bigger boobs so you could grab on them and suck on them.
Ooh, cool. And hence, you know, the playing field.
You know what I'm saying? Why wouldn't you like that?
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know what I mean? You can't say that because now it's going to come off to her, because women are irrational sometimes. it will come off to her as if you don't enjoy the boobs that she already has. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
you just have to say, hey, look, I enjoy the boobs you got. If you're going to go ahead and do that, go ahead and do it. Just know it wasn't my idea.
Facts. You know what
I'm
saying? Facts.
Not saying I'm not going to enjoy them when you get them, but I'm letting you know I'm good with what you have now. If you go ahead and get them enhanced, okay, cool, but...
Listen, you know what I mean? Listen, shorty come home with some new boobs, I'm showboating the shit out of them motherfuckers.
For real, dog.
Stupid. All right, I got two more rapid fire questions, and we gonna wrap this shit up. I'm still laughing about all the right. motherfucking the pit bull and the Suave Mente in my blood. if you had to create your own comedic Mount Rushmore, who would be included in it? Ooh,
oh,
yeah.
Richard Pryor is number one because he's kind of like. He like led the way for all the black comedians, you know?
Yep, yep.
Yeah, Richard Pryor, of course, Dave Chappelle.
Mm.
It's four of them, right?
Yeah, it's four.
Yeah, Richard Pryor, Dave Chappelle. For me, I'm probably gonna go Bernie Mac. And the last one.
Mm. It's always the last one that takes the longest. Yeah.
The last one is going to throw a lot of people off, but probably Rodney Dangerfield.
Okay. I wasn't expecting that, but
yeah,
I will respect it.
Yeah, he's one of the pioneers when it comes to this, you know, this comedy shit. And I was like watching one of his stand-ups there, because I like to watch old comedians too. And I'm just like, in a time where, you know, like comedy wasn't as big as it is now, he mm-hmm. literally ran that shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he was just, he would get on stage 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, doesn't fucking matter. And he would kill every time. And he is a good writer because he would have a bunch of one-liners. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes he'll do like a whole 30 minutes, just one-liners. What do you call a so-and-so, so-and-so? You call him this. And then, and he'll do another joke just like that. You know
yeah,
what I'm
yeah, yeah.
So yeah, those are my top four.
Not bad, not bad. I knew Bernie was gonna be on that bitch.
Of course. And if I'm gonna do an honorable mention, I gotta go with Bill Burr.
Facts. He's hella underrated. He's been Bill around Burr. For so long, but like not a lot of people talk about him when we talk about comedy. Which is a shame because mm-hmm. the dude is fucking hilarious. Like,
right.
hilarious.
Right. And, oh, man. And I don't want people to think, like, Eddie Murphy is not, like, in my top. You know what I mean? If Bernie wasn't there, it'd definitely be Eddie Murphy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but, I can agree with that because I'm a big Eddie fan, too.
Yeah,
but I'm also
the ripper. Off the ripper, though, I got to go Richard and Dave. And then it was a toss-up between Bernie and Eddie. And then I had to throw a white guy in there because I didn't want to make it seem like I was being racist. So.
You don't got to explain yourself, bro. But I get the gist of where you're going with that.
Yeah.
Okay, and to round everything out, what would Ty do with his first 15 minutes of fame?
15 minutes of fame?
Yeah, like if you just to go viral overnight, blow the fuck up, everybody that you wanted to, you know, rock with or fuck with is hitting you up and you're just on cloud nine and everybody knows who Ty Sterling really is right now. Like, what is the first thing you would do with your fame?
Whew, man.
It's a big one.
Yeah, so like if I had a platform, right, the first thing I would do, besides, you know, of course, you know, thanking all my family and friends and stuff like that, besides that, I think the first thing I would do with my platform, with my fame, is push awareness for equality.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think when I actually, you know, when I do make it and when I do make it to fame, I don't want to come off as like a person that is not aware of what's going on in the world. And I want people to know, like, when they approach me, like, you know, I got to come correct with him because he's about that shit. You know what I mean? He's not somebody who's going to be unfair. He's not somebody who's about treating people unfairly. Yeah. You know what I mean? Whether you're black, white, Hispanic, doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I just want to push equality for everybody. So that's the first thing that I would do with my platform. You know, let it be known that, like, that's what I fight for. That's what I represent.
Big know? Facts,
and,
big
and,
facts.
And that's what I'm here for.
Yeah, and especially in today's times, I think it's right. more. I think it's funny because, you know, you hear the same saying. You know, even before me and you grew up and we knew what the fuck racism was, uh-huh. you hear the same saying, oh, that happened so long ago. Or right. 50, 60, 100 years ago. We shouldn't be talking about it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that since you're talking about it now and it's kind of I'm overwhelmed that would be your first thing. Not saying that I wouldn't have thought that of you,
mm-hmm.
but it's,
mm-hmm.
I think it's more prominent now. As just as much as it was back then.
Right. And you gotta understand, like, when people say, oh, it happened so long ago, you gotta understand, like, the things that happened long ago affect us today. You know what I'm saying?
Still.
And you know what I mean? And for example, just a mild example, right? Your family, let's say you're a white guy and your family was owner of slaves, right? When your grandfather passed away, that land gets passed down and gets passed down and gets passed down and gets passed down. Or you build a house on that land that you didn't have to pay for. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Now you're living in a lap of luxury while me and all my ancestors are starting from behind. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Or for example, another thing would be they say, oh, that, you know, that was so long ago. For example, right, the crack epidemic, right? Mm-hmm. It's been proven that the government did distribute the crack into these communities. So what happens? You get white people that are doing cocaine, right, which is like the high-end drug. They get possession charged. They get out in a couple months. But then you got black people who are buying the lesser, which is the crack, that are getting harsher
penalties
for a drug that's almost the same.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and you're throwing these fathers in jail for 4, 5, 6, 7 years. Now these kids are growing up without fathers, single parent homes. You know what I mean? That affects generations. You get what I'm saying?
Of course, yeah.
And regardless if it happened back then, it can still affect you today. That's the point.
Yeah, and that's the thing too. Like, the one thing that I would tie into this is when people bring that up, like. Why do you think when we go to school we have a class called history? Think about it. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Why in modern times are we learning about stuff that happened centuries ago? Because uh-huh. it affects how we operate today. You know?
Right.
No matter how you put it, you know, certain things were said, certain things were done, certain things were put in stone, certain things were made up to create, you know, what we're living through today. You know what I'm saying? Right. Think about if there was no Martin Luther King, no Malcolm X, mm-hmm. no Black Panthers, no Black Lives Matter. You know what I'm saying? Just if you take away that entire era, you know, because they're all closely knitted and very related. If you take mm-hmm. if you take that whole era and just say you wipe it out of existence, and you were born today not knowing about what mm-hmm. the hell was going on back then, and you are a black man, or even, you know, me. You know, Latino in mm-hmm. the minority, I should say, because it is more broader than just blacks.
Right.
Think about how the world would be treated, and how your kids and your what your parents had to go through if you take mm-hmm. that whole era out of existence. And
right.
The thing is, it's also, you know, we could talk about this forever, and it's almost like systematically put there for them to hold us down. You know, no matter how you put it, no matter how you shave it, you know what I'm saying? No matter how you write it down on a piece of paper, it still remains the same. There is more, there's more certain races and certain individuals that get a higher priority than others, no matter how you look at it. You know, there's Absolutely. always, there's always an example. This is the kicker too. There's mm-hmm. always an example that can be shown and be given that one race is outperforming the other race. Think about it. Every time there's a police shooting, every time there mm-hmm. is a bad thing happening in the black community, mm-hmm. there's always something to rebuttal that we can show you with the whites. Think about right. it now. You know, when certain people get shot mm-hmm. in the streets, there's always a mm-hmm. video that's going to be behind it showing that a white man got, you know, tased and pepper sprayed and handcuffed and can still breathe and face his trial. Yeah. And then you have what happened today, and it's a black man getting killed, you know, just mm-hmm. just because, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, that also goes into police reform and also what's going on, especially in today's times. You know, racism and all that bigotry is still prominent, no matter how many people want to dumb it down. It's not. it's definitely not. So, you know, just to touch on the subject, it's something that I'll probably have you back on here. I'm gonna probably get mm-hmm. you know Cam, right?
Cam, which Cam?
Cam, I forgot his. He's gonna fucking kick my ass. He's one of my best friends. If I showed you a picture of him, you would know.
Okay. Yeah, I probably know who he is.
Yeah, but I had
I know like 8 different Cams. That's why.
Yeah, I had him on the podcast mm-hmm. in like the first, I think like maybe the second season, and we talked about when the George Floyd incident happened. Mm-hmm. We sat for 3 hours and talked about mm-hmm. it. Everything: racism, police reform, police brutality, the government, the media, everything. So mm-hmm. I'll probably have you on another episode soon to talk about it, because I was originally going to open up this whole conversation with the Mikayla Bryant episode, but I just mm-hmm. thought I'd stick to my script a little bit and do the comedy rather than being mm-hmm. a little serious episode. But I will be talking about that soon, so I probably might bring you back sooner than later.
If you want to talk about that, man, bring me back, man, because I've been wanting to talk to somebody about it.
Yeah,
I think, you know, if you know me, people automatically are going to assume that I'm going one way. You know what I'm saying? But I'm pretty reasonable. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, bring me back on and we'll talk about it.
Yeah, that's the thing too. You know, even though, you know me, I'm very vocal on Facebook. I like to be pushy. I'm real edgy. You know what I'm saying? If I'm not mm-hmm. trolling, I like to see what people are thinking. I am just one of those type yeah. of people that will probe you until you say, leave me the fuck alone. You know what I'm right. saying? But I call facts facts. You know what I'm saying? And mm-hmm. I call it by the books. And I'm only giving you guys what is given to me. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't mm-hmm. there. They're right. only showing you what was recorded. You know, I wasn't right. there. So I can't really tell you, you know, hey, you know, the cop is bad or this is that or this is that. You know, I mean, facts are facts. And the whole thing to me was like, what got me was the conversations that I had with people regarding mm-hmm. this situation. A lot of people are very, 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 very closed-minded. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Very, very right. closed-minded. And that's the thing, especially when it comes to segregation and racism mm-hmm. and stuff like that, there's certain times and certain ways to be constructive and have mm-hmm. great communication. And converse like, you know, adults, because we all 30 mm-hmm. plus now almost.
Right.
And, you know, there's no need to be, you know, so flagrant and so violent in regards mm-hmm. to just open conversation. You know what I'm saying? All because you right. have a certain opinion on something doesn't mean that I'm going to say I fucking right. hate you forever. You
right.
understand?
But this is what I'm going to tell you right now. I hear what you're saying. Right. And I completely agree with you. But at the same time, When people act like that, it is a result of trauma. You get what I'm saying? Because yeah. you start seeing the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. You know what I mean? You're like, why does it have to be like this? You know what I'm saying? And when you start to see it, and when somebody doesn't agree with you, you become flagrant. You know what I mean? And they probably don't really mean it, but they're just in a state of frustration. You know what I mean? From seeing somebody that looks like them, you know, die mm-hmm. a way that they didn't have to die.
Yeah.
And when you are not able to see it in their point of view, they will become flagrant. Not mm-hmm. saying that it's right. I'm just saying like it is a result of the trauma that they have endured. Because look, for example, I've only had 2 homeboys that died by the hands of police, right? 3 homeboys that died by the hands of the police. Mm-hmm. But there's some people who haven't had people close to them died by the hands of police, but they still see themselves in the person that passed away and feel like, oh, that could have been me.
Yeah.
So that's why they're so extreme with it. Like I said, like I said again, like, I'm not saying it's okay, you know what I mean? Because you still have to, you know, bring yourself down a little bit and think, like, all right, you know what I mean? Like, let me think logically and not with my emotions.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why, you know, some people may react the way they do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because the thing that got me was, I made a post.
My boy called me a coon the other day, and this is my close homeboy.
Careful with that C word, because I called T.I. a coon on Facebook and got 2 weeks in Facebook jail, baby.
Stupid.
Yeah, he called. That's my boy.
Yeah, you know, yeah, that's tough. Yeah,
and he called me that. So, but then I didn't take it like, you know, the wrong way. I just feel like, you know, this nigga just hurt right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He saw his little sister in Makia, so he felt he was hurt. You know what I mean? So, you know, I didn't take it offense. I just feel like, you know, he's in a state right now. You know, he's seeing somebody that looked like his sister die by the hands of police, and that's all he sees. He doesn't see anything else. He's just seeing, like, cop shot somebody.
Yeah.
I don't care why. I don't care. What was the situation? Cop shot somebody, and I'm mad now.
Because that's gonna lead me into this last example, and then I might have you back next week, because I don't want to wait too long to talk about the incident anyways as well. I made a post. I didn't say much, and I actually relayed a video from a YouTuber that I do follow. He's an ex police officer, but he does shooting breakdowns of the video.
Mm-hmm. It's on your Facebook?
Yeah. I'll tag you in it.
I'm gonna check it out.
Yeah, the YouTuber, his channel is called his name is Donut Operator. He has like 2. Mm-hmm. something million subscribers. He's a very, very honest cop. He calls bullshit when it's bullshit. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. he did the George mm-hmm. Floyd thing and he called bullshit on bullshit. And mm-hmm. basically what he was showing in the video was how people were reacting to the video of Bryant and getting shot. Mm-hmm. And the stuff that he was showing from Twitter is outrageous. Like, they were trying to mix race with it. They were trying to do all this extra shit. And they were just saying the most outlandish things on Twitter. But that's not the point. He basically took the video, slowed it down multiple times in different segments of the video, and was showing stuff that people were overlooking. So I put the video up there, and one of my good homeboys, I'm gonna keep him anonymous because that's my dog. Mm-hmm. And he was basically the same way, real verbal, a little bit on the angry, timid side about the situation. Mm-hmm. And he was basically like confronting me about what I was saying. And mm-hmm. I basically told him, simple as day, just like this, black and white on paper. I was like, when you're put in a position like that as a police officer, white, black, mm-hmm. Spanish, it don't matter, purple, yellow, green, you get called to a scene and you actively see a suspect, because that's what she was at the time, lunging mm-hmm. and stabbing multiple people.
Mm-hmm.
When does it come into play to protect and serve?
Mm-hmm.
Simple as that. And, you know, he rebutted with the same old, you know, white versus black thing. And kind of made it a thing to where, like, oh, he shouldn't have shot her. He shouldn't have done this. He shouldn't have done that. And I basically just rebutted with the same thing. And I said, take a look at this video, because when we were talking about it, he didn't see what I saw in the video. Remind you that this video is slowed down. It's broke down. And he's explaining to you what you're seeing and what people are overlooking. And I told him directly in the Facebook post, I said, bro, when the police got to the scene, not only did she get multiple warnings, multiple different verbal warnings to get down and to stop, when the video first starts, the dude that was standing next to her pushed the girl down on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. She goes and she actually stabs the girl on the floor. You see it in slow motion. You see her jab this girl on the side, then gets up, turns and goes to the girl, the infamous girl in pink, that's on the car. She's basically pinned on the car and she's lunging to stab the girl that's on the car. So when I showed him the video and he watched it, he came back and said, I didn't see that, you know, my bad. I didn't see it that way. And now I can understand a little bit why you're saying you know what you're voicing your opinion on the fact that when do you come in as a police officer, which mm-hmm. are here to protect and serve, when do you draw the line and protect and serve? And if you take a couple steps back, I asked him, I was like, did he kill a black teenager or did he save another black girl's life?
Right.
And him and his boys couldn't give me a direct answer. They couldn't give me a direct answer. I said, as shitty as this situation looks, because it is fucking mm-hmm. shitty. It is fucking shitty.
It's pretty bad.
The thing that gets me the most upset is there's grown folk all around these kids. There's grown.
Yeah, and nobody stopped it.
No, the dude that pushed the girl down originally, after mm-hmm. after Bryant stabbed her, he kicked her in the head. And you see it clear as day on the video.
And then as soon as
the cop gets done shooting, he's the first to open up his mouth and say, "Why'd you shoot her? She's just a kid, bro.
You should have shot your ass, nigga."
Exactly. So my biggest thing is, first of all, the parents and the grown people that were out there failed everybody that day. Everybody that watched that video, the people out there should be held accountable in some sort of way. That's just my belief. You let these kids do what they want, regardless if she called the cops or not. In my eyes, you called the police, stay your ass inside. Why are you being the aggressor coming out here with a knife? And the first thing the police see is you charging at two individuals trying to stab and bodily harm other people. What do you think the cops are going to do? Weapons and cops don't mix, no matter how you put it. You feel me? If you're out there barehanded, that's a different story. But if they see you as the aggressor and actively, aggressively charging and stabbing people, what did you expect for them to happen? What did you expect for them to do? You know what I'm saying? Pull out some flowers, throw some, get some rope and lasso you. That's not how it operates, bro. So I came down to it. I'm just asking the simple question. I was like, when do you draw the line of protecting or serving? And did he kill an innocent teenager or did he save another black girl's life? Because no matter how you put it, even if the pink girl started the entire fight, mm-hmm. that's somebody else's daughter.
Right.
So now let me ask you this. The dad of that daughter, do you congratulate the police officer and say, thank you for saving my daughter's life? Or do you yell at him for shooting Bryant?
Right.
And these are hard hitting questions. It's not about a white man killing a black teenager at all. At all. This was not race infused at all, no matter how you look at it. And I'm sticking with that to the death of me. And people that are trying to compare the George Floyd incident to this incident are fucking stupid. Point blank.
Right.
Point blank. One is basically, you see it. I mean, the cop had his hands in his pockets. We talked about this for hours and for months, and we're still talking about it to this day. The man had his hand in his pocket, knee on George's head for 9 minutes.
That's a lot. 9 minutes is a long time, bro.
That is. Look who I am. I don't give a fuck, and I do what I want to do. And it just so happened to be a black man. No, there's no telling how many times he's done this to other people of other races. But unfortunately, at that moment, you know what I'm saying? I'm all for that. I'm all for that. Trust me, I'm all for the whole George Floyd incident. But this one hits a little different because of the situation itself. Is it a shitty situation? Mm-hmm. By far. Nobody needs to be burying their daughter at 16 years old. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, nobody should let their kids be out there with knives after the police were called and letting the kids fight and letting the kid try to attempt to stab and hurt and maybe even kill somebody.
Right.
You know, so that's basically where I stand with it, you know, with other increments, you know, added to the fire. But, you know, once I showed my boy the video, he was like, yo, now I see what you're talking about. And I told him, I was like, this is all I want. I want constructive communication, conversing like adults. I said, because a lot of times when I say these things, people call me a cop lover. they say Anthony loves the cops. And I'm like, bro, I didn't say anything about the police. I didn't say I love the police or the police was 100% right. That has never came out of my mouth. You look on my Facebook page ever since it's been put out, I've never said anything to the fact that I love police so much. If I loved police so much, I'd be a policeman right now. Obviously. You know what I'm saying? I'm just calling facts the way they are presented to me. And I'm like, bro, you got to understand that they're there to protect and serve regardless. So in that particular moment, that split decision making, because it kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't. Because if you didn't say anything, it just kept yelling at her to get down. And let's say that Bryant stabbed this girl in the neck, cut the jugular. That girl's dead.
Right.
That girl is dead. The cop just let somebody kill somebody's daughter, hands down. Mm-hmm. So it's damned if you do, damned if you don't. So it's kind of a tricky situation, and it's nowhere near George Floyd's incident. It's not even on the same level.
It's not the same.
It's not the same. No matter how you look at it, it's one shitty situation and one bad situation. There's a fucking huge difference in between the two. Because I can show you, and I can tell you, and I can talk to you till you're blue in the face. Because a cop with his hands in his pocket with a knee on somebody's neck for 9 minutes to suffocate somebody, he died from suffocation. I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care if this man was arrested 20 times. I don't care if he's a wanted convicted felon. He's still a human being. He's still a human being. And the cop chose to put his knee on that guy's neck, George's neck, for 9 minutes. That's civilized murder is what I call it. Civilized murder. No matter how you look at it. And then the other one
Minutes is a long time, dog.
Fam, that's almost half of a TV sitcom.
That's some people's like entire set. Entire comedy set. I don't think I could sit on my knee for an entire 9 minutes, bruh.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, he did it so nonchalant. Like he does things like this. You know what I'm saying? But I mean, like I said, to each his own. We're gonna talk after this, and we're gonna talk about all of this shit and everything that's going on. Like I said, it's more prominent than ever, and it looks like it's not going anywhere for a little while. So back to the podcast before we wrap things up. It was kind of, you know, like I said, overwhelming that you would say something as to that. You know, not saying that you wouldn't, but it took me by surprise. And I think that's a very dope concept and mindset, because obviously there is a lot of people that all of y'all look up to that are famous, and guess what they do? They don't say shit. They stay quiet, and you continue to sit there and support them. So even if somebody like us, little old me and Ty, have that mentality of like, hey, now I got this platform, millions of people fucking with me, millions of people rocking with me, they know what I'm about, and I'm gonna take the time out and say, hey, look, you know, something needs to be done here. So you know, to be able to spread communication and education and knowledge is very, 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 it's very what's the word I'm looking for? It's very crucial nowadays. Because like I said, a lot of people act on emotions. You said it before, act on emotions rather than actually sitting there and have a conversation with somebody and opening up your minds just a little bit more than what you're used to or automatically assuming. So but that's dope. Well, we're gonna talk more about that shit next week. We got it. That's gonna be a long episode. But if you guys made it to the end of the episode, we appreciate you. You guys know what happens at the end of the episode. I gotta hit you guys with the respect button. My brother Ty, fuck it, I'm giving you another one. I appreciate you stopping by. I told myself this was going to be a short one. We still ended up here an hour and 40 minutes later. But I love you, bro. I appreciate you stopping by and having a spot on the podcast. It's always open for you. And if you want to leave all your socials, leave where they can check you out, what they can check out, and the names, and if you have on you the locations of the upcoming shows, so they can lock that down and write that down and get the information out there.
Yeah, all the information for my show will be on my page. It's going to be on my Twitter, my Instagram, and my Facebook. I have a link that I'm going to set up to put all my shows in there, and then you can just click which one you want to go to, get your tickets or whatever. But I don't know the exact locations yet. That's why I haven't.
Okay.
So if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's Bones of Comedy, right? That's the at name. Or you can just look me up under the Chief of the Horny Police. If you just type that into the search bar, Chief of the Horny Police.
Certified.
Yeah, certified with the badge and everything. That will come up on Twitter. On my Instagram is just my name, T-Y-S-T-E-R-L-I-N, Ty Sterling. And then my Facebook is the same thing, Ty Sterling. So holla at me. I mean, holla at Ed, thank you for having me on here. You know, it's always a pleasure.
No problem, man. No problem. I got to get your brother back on here after his little fucking vacation. We're going to have a talk.
Yeah, man. That nigga, he has a lot to talk about. Trust me.
I know. He be on Facebook. Oh, boy. He be making some valid points now. And, like, the whole little conspiracy thing he had going on, like, the last month or so, like, he'll have, like,
that nigga be high.
Bruh, he be having me thinking, though. I be like, yo, this motherfucker is right. This motherfucker is...
You might be high too then, nigga.
I don't know, bro. Stupid. But again, bro, I appreciate you, man. Much love. Thank everybody, go follow him. You guys already know. You can follow me. All of my info is on my solo link. It's on all of my social medias, my Twitter, my Facebook, and my Instagram. Podcast available on all platforms now. I ain't fucking around. I'm trying to get my shit on Tidal, but I don't think Jay rocking with me because of my income.
Seriously, you think that's wrong?
Nah. I think you gotta be somebody to get on Tidal. I can't. Yeah. It's hard to get on that motherfucker. But you guys already know Apple, Spotify, Podbean, Overcast, Pandora, Amazon, everywhere. It doesn't really matter. Just search me up, look me up. You guys already know. And one last quick shout out. Shout out to my boy Rizzy K, the Raisin Man. I just bought his latest album. He did an MK themed album. It's only $5 on his Bandcamp. It is absolutely fucking fire. We opened up with one of his beats. Shout out to my boy Rizzy K. You guys already know Kush Gang, Kick a 10, all that good stuff. I'm not gonna bother you too much with the politics. We're gonna say our pieces and be out this bitch. Ty, I love you. I'll have you back here real soon, man. So until then, peace, brother.
Peace, bro.